Well, as I said a little bit ago, good morning to all of you. Welcome to those of you that are joining us online all over the country. It's super neat living in an age like today when we can have cameras and live streams and all of this sort of thing. And we have friends and brothers and sisters all over, from New York to Tennessee, Illinois, Texas, Arizona, all over, joining us right now, worshiping with us together as the church, the body of Christ. And so I say good morning and welcome to all of you. As I said in my welcome originally, we've got some exciting stuff going on today, one of which is welcoming six new members right now. So Paul, Janet, Nancy, Dez, Justin, Maddie, come on up here and line up in the front for everybody here and everybody out there. Want to see your smiling faces. So as you get here and stand here, come right in the front, start in the center. Nancy, you're front and center right there. Yes. All right. I'm going to ask the rest of our SOT members to come up. We're going to pray for these guys. They need a lot of help joining this motley crew. So we're going to pray for these guys, and then we're going to let them be seated, and we'll get on with the rest of our message. So it has been a joy not only to serve here and live here with you all in Ely, but to get to do things like this, welcoming all of these new members, getting to know them, hearing their testimonies and what God has done in their life, going through our basic beliefs, what we believe about God and Jesus and sin and all that. And these guys have agreed to our basic beliefs. They've agreed to the covenant that we have here at Ledge Rock. They have either been baptized by immersion or have submitted to being baptized as soon as possible. So they didn't want us to cut a hole in the ice. They wanted us to wait just a little bit longer. So we'll do that as soon as we can, or maybe even right here behind me. But either way, they've either been baptized or will be baptized as soon as possible. So I just want to say welcome to you guys. How about you? You want to welcome them?
Yes.
All right. Let's start over here on the right. This is Paul and Janet Dunham. Yeah. Nancy Strait. We have Desiree Cram and Justin and Maddie Olson, newlyweds right there. All right. Miss Paula, would you pray for these guys? And then when she's done, y'all can be seated.
So, dear Lord, we are so grateful for these people. We thank you for their hearts, their love for you, and we thank you that they're going to be a part of our fellowship. May you use them mightily here for the gifts that you've given them. And, Lord, we're just mostly thankful that you are in charge here. And we just welcome them to our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah, you can sure be seated. All right, kids, kindergarten through sixth grade, get on out of here. Go upstairs and learn about Jesus. Children's church is dismissed. All right. Very good. I love the sound of babies. Babies in the sanctuary. That's good. Good stuff. So one of the joys of getting to preach each week is I spend a large portion of time in God's Word, studying God's Word and reflecting on God's Word and who He is and what He has done throughout history and what He's doing in our lives right now. And so sometimes I dig really deep and explore the original languages. And it's neat when you explore those original languages, what you can see. Sometimes we lose a little bit in English. And so during this last week, I was able to look at a very familiar verse and really dig in deep. And I believe that the translators translated it accurately, but I also think we can look at it through a different lens and see some similarities and some accuracy there as well. So John 3:16, I'm sure most of you are very familiar with that verse. But as I dug in and explored those original languages, I found out that it could also be translated that God so loved the world that He gave us coffee. And whoever drinks of it shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I thought that was a little funnier than what you guys are giving me credit for. So, okay, maybe I'm stretching that just a little bit, but those of you that know me, those of you that have gone through all the new member stuff, know that I love coffee. I don't drink coffee to wake up. I wake up so that I can drink coffee. But you know what I don't like about coffee? Absolutely nothing. I love coffee. Actually, to be honest, I don't really like the caffeine. I know some of you are going to find that hard to believe, but it's true. I don't really like caffeine. I like coffee, more coffee than my body will allow me to drink, because pretty soon the caffeine starts to affect me, and I don't like that. The caffeine has some pros and some cons. There's good things, and then there's some bad things. The good stuff is that caffeine inhibits adenosine. It inhibits adenosine, which causes our bodies to slow down. It causes us to feel fatigue, to be tired, and to rest and be restful. Well, caffeine inhibits that. It doesn't give you energy. It stops the thing that takes away energy. It makes us feel alert and awake. And I think most of us like that. We can appreciate that. That's a good thing. However, a little too much of it, and we start to become a little too alert and a little too awake, we begin to become jittery. We begin to feel kind of crummy, especially I do. I'm just very susceptible to caffeine and its effects on me. I can begin to get anxious and even feel nauseous. And when I was hiking on the trail, eating high sugar diet, lots and lots of carbs for energy, and lost like all body fat and whatever, boy, one cup of coffee, and I was so jittery, I could hardly hike, and it just didn't make me feel very good. And so all the pros can sometimes be offset by the cons if we do too much of it, if we take in too much, causing that jittery and anxiety. And let me tell you, our society, you and I today, we do not need any more anxiety in our lives. The world that we live in, America here, we've never been so anxious as a people before. We're bombarded with information everywhere we turn. Everything we look at is some sort of information, and it can be information overload. There's technology surrounding us. In fact, our jobs, even our lives, are centered around technology and information and screens and scams and schedules. Never in history has there been more demand on our time, and our attention and our emotions. And every minute of every day, something is chirping at us. Some device is calling out to us. Someone wants our attention. They want our face time. Every minute of every day, it's an epidemic that we're facing. There are younger folks, young adults, and some kids that wake up in the middle of the night to check their phones to see if anyone has sent them a message or liked their last picture. Some will even commit suicide because not enough people have sent them a message or liked their last picture. We as a society are overwhelmed. We're overloaded. We're frazzled and fried. We're stressed out and burned out and worn out and blown out until it's lights out. Did you like that one? Mankind is facing an epidemic. We are overscheduled, overworked, and overloaded, and all areas of our lives are suffering. Anxiety and stress disorders have never been so high. Every minute of every day, something is trying to get our attention. So today we begin a new series, and it's called Decaf. Now, I wouldn't try to sway any of you to switch from regular to decaf. In fact, the late Barb Vincent told me, death before decaf. I get it. I understand. I understand. I mean, caffeine, It's one of the seven basic food groups, I think. We need that. This series is not designed to try to switch you over from caffeinated coffee to decaf or caffeinated soda or tea or to decaf. That's not it. But this message series is designed for all of us to just simply decaffeinate our lives, to take a step back from the high stress, high energy, high anxiety, overloaded, overwork schedules that we are forced to keep. Even if we're retired, there's always something wanting our attention. And the series is designed to help all of us to take a hard look at our God and who we are in our God, and maybe just unplug a little bit. Unplug from the grid and plug into God, to take a step back and discard and get rid of the things in our lives, discard those distractions, slow down and simplify and declutter our lives. Again, unplug from the power grid and plug into God's power, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and understand even more clearly who we are in Him and what His call is on our lives. And that's the idea of decaf and the idea of this message. And so today, we're going to back way back up to the very beginning. So we're going to look at the book of Genesis. We're going to be in chapter 2. And if you're turning in your Bibles or thumbing through, chapter 2 is the one right before chapter 3. That's right, Paul. That's why Paul's becoming a new member here. He's good with math. And he knows his Bible. Chapter 2, right before chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Genesis is all about creation, creating the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it and all of the light and the dark. And there was morning and evening, and God saw that it was good. He created the animals of the earth and the fish that swim in the waters. God created the smallmouth bass. And he said, it is good. It's really good, especially for Pastor Kurt, hitting on top water. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be in the first three verses today. If you have a copy, follow along. Otherwise, I think we've got it up here on the screen. Follow along with me, 1-3. Genesis says, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. And on the seventh day, God had completed His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it He rested from all His work of creation. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word and for this chance to be together and to share in Your word. And Lord, I thank You for the message that You have given to me here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that You will take and preach it through me. Lord, open up our hearts and our minds and help us sit back, relax, and hear Your word. And may it change our lives. And may we see more clearly who You are and what You've done for us, and then how it is that we can serve and glorify You. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and the whole church family said, amen. So the idea about today's message is that anybody can decaffeinate their lives. We can all decaffeinate our lives if we take a look at the Sabbath and what was going on here in creation. So verse 1, it says, so the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. Now imagine for a moment, everything that went on, 6 days of creation to this point. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the light and all the stars and the dirt on the earth and the waters and the plants that grow out of the dirt and the animals that inhabit the earth. God created them. And He saw that they were good, and He blessed the days, and he said it was good, and evening and morning came each of the days. And I believe that this was six, like, honest to goodness, true, literal days. 6 days He worked, and He created everything from nothing. I'd love to spend more time even on that. We've looked a little bit over the last months about the evidence of creation all around us, and it's fascinating that anybody could have enough faith to think that all of this came from nothing. I believe with all that I am that God just simply spoke it and it existed. It is here. 6 literal days, morning and evening, came, and in 6 days God created everything that was created. And then verse 2, on the 7th day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all the work that he had done. Imagine for just a moment, maybe you have, but stop with me and think for a second, the vast black nothingness that was here first. God is eternal. God in 3 parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit existed for forever. And in God's timing, at the right moment, God spoke it into existence. People talk about the Big Bang theory. I couldn't agree more. I mean, bang, there it was. Suddenly, energy and matter, power and heat and motion, and then life. You know, today, with all the advances we have in technology and science, no one can explain how life suddenly became life from nothing. We can't duplicate that in the best, most elaborate laboratory. No one can create life from nothing. Only God can. Imagine what it was like there in the beginning. And then God created it, and it was good and beautiful and perfect. I was speaking with a dear sister this week about all the work that's been being done around here and stuff that's painted and whatever, and she shared, she's exactly like me. When I do a project, I like to then, when I'm done, walk back a ways and sit down and just look at it. Like if I've painted a room or put up new curtains or whatever it is, get them done, walk back, sit down, and just look at it. Look at it and appreciate it and enjoy it and celebrate that work that was done. It's fun. It's fun to just enjoy what was done and imagine Creator God making everything from nothing. And then on the 7th day, he sits back and just enjoys it. Rests and takes a break, and then even declares that it's holy. And so we got to ask the question, was God tired from all the work that he had done? Was God worn out? Did he need to rest? After making the iron range here and putting all that iron down deep in the ground and creating these amazing smallmouth bass, was he tired from that? And the answer is no. Most certainly not. God was not, nor will he ever be tired. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He never needs rest. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. God had something very different in mind than him needing rest. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, God blessed this 7th day. And he declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. God blessed the 7th day. Worked and created for 6 days, sat back, celebrated, and rested on the 7th day. And he set that day apart. He sanctified the 7th day, and he declared it holy. Creator God demonstrated for us what it was like to sit back and rest after we have worked for a while. God demonstrated and established a pattern for his creation to follow. God not only loves us, but he cares about us, and he wants us to be healthy, and he didn't design us to work 7 days a week. So he established this pattern that was ultimately good for us. And we call it Sabbath. In Israel, they call it Shabbat, which means a restful peace, a stepping back and unplugging. It's interesting, in Israel, on Saturday, which is the Sabbath, the end of the week, they can do no work. In fact, the elevators in the hotels just constantly run. They go to one floor and stop, and the doors open, and then close, and it goes to the next floor, opens and closes, etc., all the way up and all the way back down, because you can't even push your floor button on the Sabbath. That's too much work. In fact, there's two sets of elevators for non-Jewish people. You can just hit your button and go in and do what you want. And then there's a second set for the Jewish people that are honoring the Sabbath, and everything shuts down Friday night at dusk, at dark, and then till Saturday morning, Sunday morning, sorry, all day Saturday from Friday night till Sunday morning, everything stops. Shabbat, designed for peaceful rest. Now, God created everything in 6 days. Then he took the seventh day and he rested and declared it holy and set it apart. Now, fast forward. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and sin that entered the human race as they partook of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered and all hell broke loose, and suddenly Adam and Eve in their sin had rebelled, and they were separated from God, and death entered the earth, and now there's a curse on the earth. We work for our food, and our pains are greatly intensified. Our rebellion against God and His perfect ways enslaved mankind to sin, and its horrific consequences on God's perfect creation. Keep fast forwarding. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's family, and famine and God's people. And so they moved to Egypt, and the ruler of Egypt was kind and welcomed Joseph's family in, and they had plenty to eat, and everything went well for a while. And then good leader died, and bad leader is born, and suddenly the Egyptians were intimidated by God's people, and so they enslaved God's people. In 400 years, the Israelites worked and made bricks and built and were slaves to a pagan ruler called Pharaoh. Keep fast forwarding, and God raises up a deliverer to deliver his people out of slavery and into the promised land that God had designated and set aside for his people, a land flowing with milk and honey, and cities that they didn't build, and orchards that they didn't plant. God used a deliverer named Moses to rescue his people out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of slavery, across the Red Sea and into the wilderness, headed for the promised land. And then God created a covenant with this deliverer, this Moses. We call it the Mosaic Law. If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus, the very next book in the Bible. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. Very familiar passage for a lot of us. Otherwise, I think we have a slide prepared with the verses up here behind me. Exodus chapter 20 is where God lays out the Ten Commandments to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And we're going to pick up in verse 8. The first few verses is where God says, "You shall have no other gods before me, and make no engraved idols, and do not take the name of the Lord in vain." And then we jump in here in verse 8. And God's word says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to labor for 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the harvest, the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and declared it holy." So what's God up to? Not only does he set apart this seventh day and say that we're to rest on it and keep it holy, then he reminds God, his people, in the Ten Commandments. I mean, one of Ten Commandments is to remember that Shabbat day, that day of peaceful rest. Remember that and keep it holy, and we're not to work. Our animals aren't to work. Our slaves are not to work. What in the world is God up to? Well, God's people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, were getting ready to enter into the promised land. Now, this promised land is an amazing place, a land with every type of climate and soil type and diversity in such a small area. And it was rich and fertile and beautiful. As I said earlier, land flowing with milk and honey. And there were lots and lots of nations that lived in this promised land. And they were all godless. They were all pagan nations. They were all far from God, and God wanted his people to enter this land and possess it, but to be different than all those other nations. You see, those other nations worked hard and they built their cities and they didn't take a Shabbat. They didn't take a peaceful rest. And God said, you, my people, are going to be holy. You're sanctified. You're set apart for good works. And these other nations, as you conquer them, there'll be some that will be left, and you're going to be different than them. And so God wanted his people to be different. The Lord desires his people to be set apart and holy and healthy. Clearly, God created and then commanded the Sabbath day. You're to work 6 days and then you're to rest. You're to take time off and sit back. So what about you and I today? That's the real question. What about you and I today? Are we still under this Mosaic law? Do we still have to honor the Sabbath and remember it and keep it holy? Are we sinning if we don't? Are we missing the mark? Are we messing up? Well, the answer is no. And yes. No and yes. What's up, you say, brother, pastor, preacher? What's up? How can that be? No, we're not commanded. Yes, we are. God said clearly, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. What about us here today? Why is it different? What's up? Jesus. Jesus is up. And boy, when Jesus came, did he change everything? Everything changed. I'm reading the Bible through chronologically, and I'm going through the prophets and all of there's Israel's rebellion and the nations conquering them and the Israelites being enslaved. And I cannot wait for the coming Messiah, for Jesus to burst onto the scene, because Jesus changed everything. Now today, we have a new covenant through Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, through his body and his blood. You see, back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Law, it was really broken up into two different parts. There is the moral law, which were things like do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not lie, do not, the moral law. Then there's the ceremonial law, lots of restrictions, things like dietary restrictions and acts of circumcision and animal sacrifices and the Sabbath. Moral law, we still have those today. Ceremonial law, those have been fulfilled and accomplished by Jesus. You see, as disciples today, we're following Jesus. We're following after him and following Jesus' example. And you and I, as born-again believers, we are set apart, sanctified by God for him and his purpose. We are regenerated by the transforming life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We're regenerated. We're washed clean and made brand new. We are renewed from the inside out. And Jesus said, yeah, don't sin. Repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. But also don't even think about that sin. Because you and I, we can commit adultery simply by looking upon a man or a woman with lust. We've already committed adultery in our hearts. Jesus took it a whole nother step further than the law and said, don't even think about that stuff. We're set apart, very, very different. And see, in the new covenant with Jesus, we're still not to have any other gods before the one true creator God. We're to not make any idols. We're to not take the name of the Lord in vain. We're still to honor our mother and father. We're still to not steal. We're not to commit murder. We're not to commit adultery or bear false witness or covet our neighbor's things. We're still not to do all that. Only the fourth commandment is not mentioned in the New Testament, which is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The writer in Hebrews 8:13, if you like to keep notes, says that this new covenant we have in Jesus has made the old covenant obsolete. I love that word, obsolete. He didn't just do away with it. It's no longer needed because Jesus was perfect. In his perfection, he lived on this earth approximately 33 years and never sinned. While he was here, he fulfilled and completed and accomplished all the law and all of its requirements in our stead. Now, if we cry out from our heart and ask him to be Lord of our life, forgive us of our sin, he does. And he drapes the medal of completion of all the law over our necks. And now we get to celebrate as though we did it on our own, when really Jesus did it for us. That old covenant is obsolete today. And then Paul goes on in several places, Colossians and Corinthians, and he says, don't get caught up in legalism. Paul says over and over in his writings, don't get caught up in legalism. If you are convicted that you need to take the Sabbath day and keep it holy, then by all means, do it. And if you don't feel that you have to follow that Sabbath and keep it holy, then don't. And don't judge each other. Don't do that. Don't judge because they're dealing with their own personal convictions. You deal with your own personal convictions. You see, no longer is anything unclean. We can eat whatever we want. We don't have to keep that Sabbath day holy. Do what you want. Over and over, Paul says, follow your own personal convictions. And so the big question really is, are we commanded today to Sabbath? The answer is no. Are we commanded? No. But we're created to Sabbath. We're created to rest. Remember, God didn't have to rest himself. He established a pattern that was good for us. See, we're created to know the Lord personally. We're created to walk with the Lord. We're created to seek the Lord with all our hearts. We're created to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord, to walk with the Lord. We're created to rest in the Lord. We're created to be his presence here on this earth right now while we're here. And so the question really that we need to ask ourselves is, am I too busy? Am I too busy in my life? Am I more available to other people than I am to God? Ask yourself, am I too busy? Ask others, ask your loved ones to be honest with you. Are you too busy? Do you need some rest? If you are here this morning and you're overloaded and overwhelmed, if you're here this morning and you're stressed out and burned out and worn out, then you're not much good to anybody. You're not much good to yourself. You're not much good to your friends, family, and neighbors. And you're certainly not much good to God. So you may have to take a step back and say no to someone, no to something that you can check out and unplug from this busy, hectic life full of bombarded information and technology and screens and scams and schedules. Unplug from that. Step back and rest. Relax. Look up to God and plug into him and who he is. Plug into his power source. Say no to people and yes to God. My prayer for this sermon series, as we take a look at what it means to just say no back off and back up and unplug. My prayer for this series is that all of us will get closer to God and be more restful in all areas of our life and even more productive than we would have been fully plugged in and overloaded and overwhelmed and bombarded with everything. My prayer is that during this series, we can all decaffeinate our lives and honor God even further through it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and this chance to look at what it means to Sabbath. And I pray for each one of us here this morning and listening online that we will take a hard look at our lives and make some tough choices and back off and back out and back away from the huge demands that we're under. Lord, you didn't create us to be so overwhelmed and overworked. And so I pray for each one that we will stop and find rest in you, and that you will bless that time and honor it as we seek to know you better and honor you. And Lord, I pray that we will see lives transformed and people set free from the bondage of technology. So Lord, do what you want in our hearts, and may you be so glorified on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.